All right, let's pray. Lord, you are amazing. And to speak for you is a terrifying thing. Even the prophet Hosea, when he saw you in your glory, he fell down as a dead man and cried out, "I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. Woe is me." Bring us to that place this morning, that we would understand exactly who we are in truth, where we are with you in truth. Expose each one of us. If there's any hidden thing, Lord, that maybe we don't even see at this point, would you expose it? Lord, may the motive of our hearts be to honor you, to worship you, to love you, to follow and seek after you, to run after you. This world, there's so many distractions. And yet, this morning, would you help us to put all those things aside and hear from you? Lord, may you speak what you want to speak this morning. None of us need to hear what I have to say. What I have to say means nothing in eternity. But when you speak, lives are changed and things happen. And so we expect that this morning, Lord. Just want to be a vessel. We want you to be magnified. We want you to be glorified. We want to be able to see you in your true glory and light. May that be done this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. When I was asked to speak on Psalms, this is the one that came to my mind at first, and I think Tim actually said, "Oh, Psalm 1. I'm like, "I'll take that one." It was one of the first passages that I memorized when I first became a believer. And I wasn't planning on doing this, but I'm going to share a little bit of how I came to the Lord so that you can get a backdrop of how important this is to me and how the Lord used this in my life. And it's really kind of focused on the fruit, bearing fruit. An apple tree bears apples. It doesn't bear oranges. We would look at the oranges and be baffled. We wouldn't expect that. We would expect apples, right? And when I first started, well, my wife shared the gospel with me first. And it was a long time me kind of seeking the Lord, and I finally came to the conclusion I wanted to get baptized. I wanted to become a member of the church. And so I started seeking the Lord, started reading the scripture. I was a person that read the scripture daily, prayed with her daily. And yet, I don't know, it was 5 or 6 years. I was at Calvary Chapel at one point sharing with the children, and I was leading a children's ministry at that time. And yet inside, I was still full of lust. I was still full of anger. I was still full of pride. I loved the world. I had a really nice car. And guess how deceived I was? This car had a license plate holder, and guess what it said? My true treasure is Jesus Christ. No, it wasn't. It was the car. It just made me feel good, really. I didn't know it at the time. I was totally deceived. Totally deceived. So the fruit in my life that you would never see, it's not the fruit that you would see. It's the fruit that I knew was in me, right? But you guys would talk to me and think, man, he loves the Lord. And I really did think I did. But inside, I was dirty, smelly, disgusting. I wouldn't want you to know what was going on in my mind at that time. And a friend of mine invited me to go share the gospel on Halloween on Hollywood Boulevard. And I was like, nah, I got a business to run. I got a family to raise. I got stuff to do. And the Lord, I don't know if you've ever heard of the little pamphlet, Our Daily Bread. I read that every morning. And that morning, Friday morning, they were leaving Friday morning to go on this trip. And I had told them a week before I wasn't going. I wake up like I normally do. I got up early. I was praying. And I open up this, and it says, it's talking about, you know, when Jesus looked out and he saw that the harvest was plentiful, but the workers were few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of harvest to send out laborers. I just started weeping, ran upstairs, told Jeanette, I got to go. Called my friend, do you have room? Yeah. So I went. And as I was going, we were almost on Sunset Boulevard, And as we approached it, I was in the front seat next to my friend Kevin. And all of a sudden, I felt like hands going around my throat and stopping my airflow. Literally could not breathe. I thought I was going to die. I was so terrified. I've never experienced evil like that ever. And I was terrified. And my friend sensed it and looked over and says, oh, bro, what's going on? And I said, I'm terrified. I can't speak. I feel like I'm going to die. And he just put his hand on me and he just prayed over me. And this wicked spirit like left. And I just said, I asked him, I'm like, what was that all about? He's like, and I said, I've never experienced anything like that. He says, yeah, because you've been going the same direction. Now you're turning around and now you're starting. Instead of running away from the battle, you're running towards the battle. He had no need to try to scare you off because you were just where he wanted you. That night, I'm standing there and I'm in front of Kodak Theater and I look up and the Ten Commandments is showing. And there are tens of thousands of people. The street is full of people. Most of them not in their right mind because it's late. And a friend of mine, another friend, he gets up on this box, gets his Bible and starts preaching the gospel. And he starts, and I had never seen this before on the street, never seen that before. And I looked at him and I'm like, wow. Well, I started listening to what he had to say. And for the first time, he said things like, you've heard it said of old, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you, if you have lust in your heart towards a woman you're married to, you're in danger of the same judgment. You're an adulterer. I say to you, if you have hatred in your heart towards a brother without a cause, you're in danger. You're like a murderer. And then he quoted John 8. He says, he who sins is a slave to sin. But a slave doesn't live in the house forever, but a son does. Therefore, if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And I came to a crossroads at that point. Nobody knew this. The people out there thought everything was good. But all I can say is that I came to this point where I realized that I had not been changed. And the promise was that God would change me and make me new. And I looked up to heaven, and I honestly said this. I said, Lord, either you're a liar and you have no power over this sin in my life, or I'm a liar and I'm a hypocrite. And I know you don't lie. It must be me. I'm holding on to something and I'm done. I'm undone. I came like Isaiah. I'm undone. I'm done trying to live this Christian life on my own. I can't. I have no power over it. And at that point, everything changed. And I had gone to Promise Keepers. Anybody remember Promise Keepers? I'd gone to Promise Keepers. I'd gone to Billy Graham. I'd gone to these things time after time after time after time. And I would always go up front. But I would come back. Jeanette would be very excited for about a week. And then I would go back to the old self. And so when I finally did come back this time, changed, it took her about a year to actually look around and go, he's changed. He's different. Not perfect, different. Totally different direction. And that leads me into Psalm 1. What we sow into, during that time, up and from the very time I was born all the way till that time, that night, my whole life was consumed about me and what pleased me. And that's what I pursued. And I got the fruit of that. Right? I sowed to the flesh, and guess what I got? Can anybody tell me? If you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. Right? So corruption was in my heart. And I had been working on it for nearly 32 years. And I was good at it and totally deceived, sitting in church thinking I was perfectly fine. But then when I did receive the Spirit, and that it's amazing, because what happens is when I left that place, all of a sudden my relationship with sin was different. I was a moth to the flame. Like, that's just the way I was. But yet when that night after that, it was like, I didn't want that anymore. It wasn't the desire of my heart anymore. I had a different desire. And I'm here to share, it's glorious to have that new desire. It is so freeing. And there may be some people here that have had that same experience, and some people here that have not, and maybe are still in that. They're in that state where they're in church, and yet they don't have that power, and they know it, but they don't really want to say anything. Or maybe this is the first time they've actually come to the conclusion, like, maybe there's something going on. I spent my time walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the path of sinners, and sitting in the seat of the scornful. And I got exactly what I was sowing. And so if we want to have the blessed life, what do? Well, we don't do that, right? Verse 2, we delight in the law of the Lord. And in his law, we meditate day and night. But see, what's the difference between, because I read the scripture almost daily and I prayed almost daily. What was the difference before and after? Faith. The difference was faith. The difference was when I looked at it, I looked at it as the very word of God, the instruction manual for my life. It wasn't a book anymore. It was like God speaking to me. And now when I read the word, it's like God speaking to me. Do you understand when you open up this Bible? When we open this Bible, do you know what it is? Do you know what's happening? The very God who created the heavens and the earth, the very God who spoke into existence all that we see, that very God is speaking to us and communicating to us. And now I treasure it. And there's a difference between reading it, because Jesus said this, right? The scribes and the Pharisees, what did he say to them? He said, you seek the scriptures, like you search them diligently, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they speak of me. They missed the whole point of the scripture. They knew the scripture, they knew the law, but they didn't see Christ in the law and in scripture. So if you're in that place where you want this new life, you haven't experienced it, it's there. I'm a living testimony of it. And it was nothing I did. It was all God. The only thing that I did was I surrendered. And I believe there's lots of people in this congregation right now that have that same testimony. I was lost, and I was dead, and I was blind, and now I see, and now I'm alive, and now I'm found. Hallelujah. Is that not the gospel? The gospel is not coming to church. Do you know that? The gospel's not singing music. The gospel actually is not even morality. Did you know that? The reason why we come to God is not to have moral life. The reason we come to God is because he's amazing and he's worthy and he wants us to be his children. And he wants to not only forgive us, that would be enough, right? That we'd be forgiven. He wants to transform us, make us a trophy of grace. A trophy of grace. Do we know what grace is? Anybody know Titus 2:11? Titus 2:10 and 11? For the grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live soberly and righteously in this present age, looking for, expecting the return of Jesus. See, the grace of God teaches us something, doesn't it? It's not just something we get. It's something that teaches us. And the Holy Spirit comes in, and that grace comes in, and it teaches us. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Can I hear an amen? Amen. And then, look, when we delight in his law, would I say that every time in my whole life, I'm always delighting in the law? I can't say that. There's one that has. There's one that's lived that has, right? What's his name? He is the one that has perfectly lived out this passage. This is him, and he wants us to enter into this with him. We look at this and we can go, man, this is daunting. But if we look at it and go, he's gone before me. He wants to empower me. He wants to not just save me and leave me alone. He wants to walk with me. He wants to empower me. He wants to breathe life in me. You can fill your name in there. Is it just me, or is this like cool? Is this like amazing? And look, if you're in a place where maybe you've walked with the Lord for a while, but now you're in a place where you're maybe dark. There's maybe a dark place. Maybe you're in a place where you're dealing with some fear that you haven't dealt with before. Maybe you're dealing with some sin that you haven't dealt before. What's the answer? Can anybody tell me what the answer is? Jesus. Faith. Getting in his word, believing. It's one thing to read, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." First of all, do you know this is saying that the tree, that's us, is planted. Who plants? God takes us out of the dry places, takes us, and plants us next to the river. He plants us next to the source. So now we have the source of water. We have that life living in us. We have everything we need now. And then we read that. He said it. I believe it. He's going to do this for me. That's faith. Not seeing it yet, but going, I know my Redeemer. And I know that he makes promises that he keeps. And I'm going to believe it no matter what I see with my eyes. That is faith. Because can we all agree that there are times in life where we feel like, wow, the Lord is just working in my life, and you feel like, wow, praise the Lord. And then there's times where you feel like, wow, this is really hard. I'm having a really hard time. Maybe you lose a spouse. Maybe you lose a child. Maybe you lose a job. Maybe there's hardship. Maybe you're having conflict with your wife or your children. Maybe you have a wayward child. These things God allows to refine our character and to drive us to our knees. Right? What's the most important thing to God in our lives? It's character, right? He wants us to have character that reflects him and his image. And sometimes we're so focused on everything else. Is the prosper, do you honestly believe when you read this that the prosperity is financial? Do you believe that that's what God, maybe part of it, but that's not what he's so important to him, right? Prosperity is you're bearing fruit in season. You have a hardship. And now you dig deep, and the Holy Spirit gives you that self-control, that perseverance. When you're being attacked, you respond with grace and love and kindness instead of attacking back. Anybody here, that's natural? Somebody attacks you and you're gracious and kind back. Is that normal? No, that's supernatural. That is a God thing. When there's trial and hardship, is it normal that you're just, praise the Lord? No, that's not normal. That's supernatural. When you go, praise the Lord. Lord, the Lord gives and takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There are some, and I have been praying over this for a month. I've been studying this for a month. I've been meditating on it for a month. And I've had the experience where I've talked to many young men, and there is a common denominator with young men, with the ones that I've been involved in. Young, as young as like 11, 12, they're dealing with pornography. They're dealing with sexual sin at a very young age. And it seems like as a church, we're not really talking about that very much. And I would encourage if you are in that right now, there is hope. I'm telling you, God wants so desperately to deliver you and show his amazing power in your life. You don't have to be ashamed of that. You can speak it. You can confess it. But don't you hold on to it. Don't you let the enemy destroy you. Right? We don't want that. When I was growing up at 10, I didn't have access. Now, everybody's got it on their phone. And it's not just that. It's all kinds of other things. That might have come out of left field for some people, but isn't that fruit? And there's men in here probably. What's the answer? Is it any different to anything else? The answer is still Jesus. The answer is denying myself, picking up my cross, and following the Lord. Is it not the same? And what the enemy will try to do, whether it's anger, right? Whether it's lust, whether it's pornography, whether it's bitterness, unforgiveness, any of that. What the enemy wants to do is get you alone and just destroy you. But if you allow it to be exposed and you confess it, he's got nothing he can do. You've already put it out in the light. That's why it says, those who do darkness, they go in darkness. Why? Because they don't want it to be exposed, because they're fearful, they feel ashamed. If somebody does confess to us, what's our response? To shame them? No. To help them, to love on them, to show them a better way, to walk with them. Right? Can we get an amen?
Amen.
And fathers, be involved. Let's talk to our children about these things. If we don't, someone else will. It's a hard life to live right now. You look around, there's a lot of sin everywhere. And it is just in our face, day and night. Let's not pretend like it's not there. It is there. Let's face it. If we've fallen for it, let's confess it, and let's move on. Let's not make excuses. We don't need to make excuses. Didn't we just talk about that? How powerful God is, how amazing he is, how he wants to take us from death to life, how he wants to give us a new heart and a new mind and a new love for him. That's not just for the first time, that's for the rest of our life. And that's for every person, I believe. The scripture says, for God so loved the world, I'm part of that world, you're part of that world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the condemnation. Light has come to the world, but men love darkness rather than light. So what's the answer? Come to the light. Don't stay in darkness. You don't have to. That's why we're here, right? As a fellowship. To help. We don't have to be the ungodly. We don't have to be the chaff which the wind drives away. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I'm going to speak another thing. Social media. Young girls, they look at what's going on. Young boys, they look at what's going on. Men look at what's going on. And they look at their life compared to what they see. I'll just give you a Cliff's Notes version. It's all a facade. It's all a facade. It's all stained glass windows. It's almost all fake. And you find yourself chasing after these things that aren't even real. Like these people put out there, like, life is like a box of chocolates. And things are so easy. And I never have a care. That's not true. They're only showing you what they want you to see. Isn't that true? And that is social media. So when you look at it, if you, I would recommend you don't, but if you do, take it with a grain of salt. Realize that people are putting their best foot forward and you're not seeing their real life, right? So when you see young girls and you go, wow, I would like to be like that. No, wouldn't it be more profitable for you to look up at Jesus, the one who died and rose from the grave, who seated at the right hand of God in power and majesty on high, to look at him and go, wow, I want to be like him. Amen. See, all it is perspective. If we get the right perspective, it's amazing. Because what leads to despair can cause us to look up in awe. It's pretty awe-inspiring that he rose from the dead. It's pretty awe-inspiring that he did that knowing that we would hate him one day. Do you know it's not because we loved him that he died? It's because while we were his enemies, Christ died for us. Is that not true? I hope this is incredibly encouraging and convicting and exhortive. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. And I want to talk about, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of, what's the fruit of the Spirit? If we're walking in the Spirit, Jesus tells us, blessed is the man. Let's talk about that. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Do you see the contrast between the way the Lord wants us to live and the way the ungodly lives, the way the world lives? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Well, they persecuted Jesus too. How did that go for them? Did they win when they put him in the grave? Did all the forces of darkness win when they put him in the grave? What happened 3 days later? What happened 3 days later? He rose from the dead. When he rose from the dead, do you know what he did? He defeated the power of death and the power of sin. So now we look at death and we don't have to be afraid of death anymore. And we can look at sin and not be afraid of sin anymore, because he's defeated the power of it, so that those who follow after him have the power over those things. That's the beauty of it, right? He doesn't save us and then leave us in the muck. He saves us and brings us and plants us by the rivers of water, so we have the source that we need, that power that we need to live the way he wants us to live. That's the beauty of it. So how do we continue to live with that source of water? I know we're not a church that people usually talk back to the preacher, but it's okay today. Dallas isn't here. He can't say anything about it. But verse 2 of Psalm 1, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in him. Look and see what he says. Delight yourself in that. That's the way to live. That's the blessed life. That's where you get peace in the storm. That's where someone who has lost all of their family and they can say, the Lord gives and takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's how you get to that. There's no other way to live like that. I have 8 more pages. Do we go till noon? Because I got a lot more. Okay. We'll close with just 2 more passages. Hebrews 11:6. That was one of my, Psalm 1 was the first passage. Hebrews 11:6 was the first verse that I memorized when I first came to the Lord. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He wants to reward us for diligently seeking him. You will have, and I will have, as much of God as I want. Right? Yep. Or you can have as little, but you're kind of shortchanging yourself. And I do that. Let's encourage one another to diligently seek him. To like, what does diligence mean? Does that mean seek him a little bit and then you go off and do your own thing? Or is it a life of, like Daniel, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile his body, right? He purposed in his heart, let's purpose in our heart to diligently seek God. If it's a struggle for us to get up in the morning or at night to be in God's word, fight through that. Teach yourself to delight in God's word. Start with your perspective. What is it? Is it just another book of fairy tales? Is it just prophecy? No, it's a supernatural book. I think most of us know this, but maybe some of us don't. Do you know this book, this one book right here? This was written by 40 different authors over a 1,500-year span of time on 3 different continents by 40 different authors that didn't know each other. Some were peasants, some were prophets, some were kings. Think about that. And yet, from the very first chapter to the last, and everywhere in between, is threaded Jesus. Do you think that Jesus is only in the New Testament? No. The next psalm is all about Jesus. Kiss the Son. It's a powerful book. It's a supernatural book. It was written for you and I. And I encourage all of us, including me, to delight in it. And then my boys and I memorize this next passage, Psalm 119, 9 through 11. How can a young man or woman, we'll just call all of us young men and women, how's that? How can a young man or woman cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. I would encourage all of us to memorize that passage. Memorize it with the meaning of, I want this. I want with my whole heart to seek God. I want his word hidden in my heart so that I can walk close with him. And the beauty is, the promise is he's right there. He wants to. Yep. Okay, one more time. That God that created all things, that not by like anything but his voice, he spoke, literally spoke, and the world and the land and the sea and the moon and the stars were created by him speaking these things. Loves us, cares about us, wants to be intimately in our lives. That's amazing to me. And let's look at the Word of God that way. And I just challenge us to do that because it's going to transform us. And we will be, as Jesus said, a city on a hill. Right? A light isn't meant to put a basket over it, is it? A light is meant to have the basket off so it's illuminated. Let's pray. Lord, by faith, we believe that you just spoke. Lord, by faith, I had all these notes, and I just believe that this is what you wanted to speak. Help us, Lord, to see your word for what it really is. Help us to delight ourselves in your word. Help us to see it as a treasure. Help us to see you as a treasure. Help us to look at your commands as a treasure and look at it as a blessing. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we continue to fellowship together after this, as we continue in worship. Lord, would you bring us into the throne room that we could see you like Isaiah saw you seated on the throne, that we could see you high and lifted up. Help us to take seriously what your word says. Not begrudgingly, because we see you as so amazing, so beautiful, so majestic. Any of us, Lord, that are in sin, any of us that are trapped, ensnared, in bondage, Lord, help us to bring it out of darkness into the light. Help us to confess that. And then to declare that you are good and to believe that you can forgive, and not only that you can, that you will, and not only forgive, but you'll give new life and new heart and you'll give victory. Help us to believe these things, Lord. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.